You're listening to Unceded Airwaves by the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. Unceded Airwaves is broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, unceded, and current lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Indigenous girl, lifestyle, lifestyle, lifestyle. 1, 2, 1, 2. Your show intro today was Indigenous Girl by JB the First Lady. Unceded Airwaves broadcasts every week from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people, Bangwezi. My name is Autumn Schnell, and I'm Treaty 11 Gwich'in. I was born and raised on the Treaty 6 territory of the Cree, Métis, Soto, Nakota Sioux, and Nakota Sioux peoples. I'd like to acknowledge that I am an uninvited guest on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Do you want to introduce yourself, Josh?
Yes, I'm Josh Kiyoki. I'm from the Attawapiskat First Nation in Treaty 9 territory. And I'm very pleased to be with you here, Autumn.
Perfect. You're listening to season 3, episode 3 of Unceded Airwaves. Today, we will be talking about the trials opening up with the missing and murdered Indigenous women. And then for the second half of the show, we're playing exclusively female-identifying Indigenous artists to give them airtime and to show solidarity. But before we get into it, let's set our intention for the day.
So who we are the Indigenous Radio Collective. Every week we meet to discuss Indigenous issues, current events, and entertainment. We're a collective of Indigenous and non-Indigenous students who use our weekly airtime for our own self-representation.
We strive to center Indigenous voices on our show and to build narratives that empower Indigenous people. Self-representation in the media is something that Indigenous people do not often have access to.
The show gives us the opportunity to share and define who we are as Indigenous people. Our cultures are incredibly diverse, and the nuances of our diversity are not always represented in mainstream broadcast media.
It can be difficult to find positive Indigenous role models in popular media, so the show offers a community to highlight some influential Indigenous people.
If you can relate to the goals of our show and are wondering how to get involved, please reach out. You can always reach us on our social media. We have Facebook and Twitter. If you have a voice for decolonization, we want to hear from you.
Everyone is welcome, and there is no experience necessary. Our weekly meeting is every Monday at 4 p.m. at CITR in the lower level of the Nest. If you want to get involved but don't want to be on air, there are plenty of other ways to participate in the collective.
You can follow Unceded Airwaves on Facebook and Twitter. If you are aware of an Indigenous artist, send us a tweet using the hashtag UncededMusic. Or send us a Facebook message at Unceded Airwaves, and we'll do our best to get it on the air. And if we play a song you send us, we'll give you a shout-out.
We are always looking to hear from our listeners about what you're up to, so let us know about any Indigenous artists that you're into right now, what events you're attending or promoting. As always, we'll post a link to the podcast of this episode after the show. We'll have our weekly Unceded events listing to share later in the show as well.
Pushing through. smile now formed askew. She's put herself together and pushing through, pushing through.
UBC Theater and Film presents a world premiere shining with love and possibility. Wives and Daughters by Jacqueline Firkins, based on Elizabeth Gaskell's Victorian serial novel, is a charming romp of love convoluted by hidden desires and expectations.
I like to be liked, but when people carry their affection too far, they become troublesome.
Cynthia's a sweet girl and charming, but she was always in some spot of trouble. She wasn't mischievous exactly, but mischief seemed to follow her.
Join us from November 9th to 25th at the Frederick Wood Theater.
After a certain age, a daughter becomes inconvenient.
So we must stop being inconvenient daughters and become inconvenient wives?
Theaterfilm.ubc.ca.
Thousands of opinions are at our fingertips, but are all opinions informed? Does your information have a source? Is your social feed based on fact? Only facts can uncover the truth. Professional journalists are committed to balanced and nonpartisan reporting, to independent commentary. They cut through the spin to give you the information and perspective you need. Journalism is essential to democracy. A watchdog over the powerful, an independent voice. Journalism is more important than ever.
Stolen locations, abusive relations, 150 celebrations, comment section hating, debating, truth and reconciliation fading, divided and shading, but we still here, we still here, we still here. Missing brother, missing mother, missing daughters, say it again, no clean water, but we still here, we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we still here, we still here.
father in sight. Women, warrior, fight. I wanna break the cycle in the circle. Non-verbal, nocturnal, no dress rehearsal. A head by a century, awaken the spirit. Be fearless and clear it, no limit. I spit it, I risk it, I hit it. It's written, never bitten. Archive for my descendants. Important to make a presence, representations at all levels. We are all rebels sent from the heavens at 11:11. So meet me at 7:11 to dismantle depression, to gather, to master and shatter the system. I know what's missing. I see the gaps. I have the maps to take it back. Come on. Stolen locations, abusive relations, 150 celebrations, comment section hating, debating, truth and reconciliation fading, divided and shading, but we still here, we still here, we still here. Missing brother, missing mother, missing goddess, say it again, no clean water, but we still here, we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we're still here, we're still here. Enrage and resistance, take back the land is the business. Step up and witness, speak up, go the distance. The time is now, show them how. They didn't want us to powwow, so we made a powwow. Now allow your powwow. Four push-ups to dance your style. I'm hella versatile, my indigenous girl lifestyle. You checked my Insta profile, too quick to reconcile without the truth or impact the youth. You tell the lies of the voting booth, we'll make it smooth. Elders and POCs do all the work, make moves. Culture vultures waiting to play and take away what is sacred. Internalized self-hatred, culture lost. Nothing to show, they try to be a bro. Be careful and let them know we are here and we in control. Stolen locations, abusive relations, 150 celebrations, comment section hating, debating, truth and reconciliation fading, divided and shading, but we still here, we still here, we still here. Missing brother, missing mother, missing goddess, say it again, no clean water, but we still here. We're still here. The message is clear. They wanted us to disappear, but we're still here. The message is clear. They wanted us to disappear, but we're still here. We're still here. They call me on my cellie to hear my words and my verbs, my words into action. I'm the girl that makes it happen, shutting down the streets. I complete, I defeat with just one tweet. No need for press release. I never couple these middle fingers up, but I call for peace. Water is sacred, yeah, I'm jaded. Wine natives hated, still native kids be taken. Still treaties are forsaken, still stupid, not educated. This is stolen land, the time is now. We demand, your occupation is out of hand. United we stand, kill the masker, save the people. Kill the ego, no sequel, no one is illegal. Power to the people, together we are better. Talk is circle, pass a feather. Talk is circle, pass a feather. Stolen locations, abusive relations, 150 celebrations, comment section hating, debating, truth and reconciliation fading, divided and shading, but we still here, we still here, we still here. Missing brother, missing mother, missing goddess, say it again, no clean water, but we still here, we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we still here, we still here. But we still here. They try to ban our pot latches, but we still here. Smallpox and trail of tears, but we still here. Still here.
You just heard Still Here by JB, the First Lady. In our show today, we'll be focusing on missing and murdered Indigenous women and media that's been made around that, addressing that issue. We will specifically be talking about an opera called Missing, written in part by Marie Clements, that just premiered in Vancouver, and a movie called Wind River, which was released earlier this year as well. It is kind of a big Hollywood movie. It's
yeah,
all the stars in it, I've been told. Anyway, Autumn, you went and you saw Missing last weekend. I would have seen it this weekend, but they really sold out of cheap seats.
Yeah,
which is really good for them. That's they It's good that they're doing well.
They did it, yeah.
Yeah,
So Missing tells a story about a person that everybody knows but nobody remembers. Set in Vancouver along the Highway of Tears, the music drama is being created to give voice to the story of Canada's missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, and to show that each and every one of these people is being honored. I thought it was really good, personally. I hope that was the common theme, but yeah, it was important. It was really neat to see lots of Indigenous opera singers, because I've personally never seen that before, and it was really nice to see representation in ways that aren't typical.
Yeah. I think a few years ago they did Mozart's The Magic Flute, partly in Hunkaminam, but I think a lot of those performers were not actually Indigenous.
Oh.
They were speaking the language, but it's good to hear that this opera is like primarily cast with Indigenous people, it sounds like.
I don't know if it's primarily, but I know that there were some.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it was also really cool because they spoke about language revitalization, and there was one scene that I remember where they had, I don't remember the language that they were speaking or the phonetic alphabet that they had up, but they had a phonetic alphabet in the background with all of the symbols, which I thought was really cool, and I had never seen that before because people don't talk about Indigenous languages, really.
So one of the big reasons I wanted to see this, and I'm like kind of disappointed that I might have to go to Victoria to see it, is in order to, well, I could have bought like a $60 ticket, but I'm not.
But they're so, yeah.
That's expensive.
I mean, yeah.
I'm a student.
Yeah.
But is that I've seen video of like Marie Clemence's stuff
yeah.
before, and it just looks incredible. Was that your impression of like the actual like performance of the show and the like the production, I guess?
Yeah, it was really beautiful. There was an artist talk on Sunday that I didn't get to go see, unfortunately, but it was talking about the background, and I thought that the background was beautiful because it was really like it moved, and there was a symbol in a circle, and they would like move it, and there were people standing behind it like crying and stuff, which was really neat. And it was also just beautifully done and like put together. And the actors were wonderful as well. And the singers, I guess they're opera singers.
5 out of 5?
Five out of five.
All right.
Yeah. It was also really interesting because I don't usually cry in like movies, but I left bawling and so did the people that I was with, kind of because it instilled a feeling of like, it could happen to anybody, and it can. The last scene was really kind of showing that anybody could be affected. And, like, one of the main characters, from my impression, was somebody who was non-Indigenous, and she was really upset about it, which was really neat. Mm. Yeah. It also was really cool because it showed allyship with non-Indigenous Canadians, which is something that also isn't broadcasted.
That is like in stark contrast to the movie that I saw, but or at least my interpretation, I guess.
Yeah, it was also really cool because it was the perfect amount of real. Like it was so real, and I was crying, but it also needed to be that real because if it wasn't that real, I would have probably been upset, as how you're describing the movie.
It gave a healthy distance.
Yeah, the thing that I think I left most was that it played on what missing really means. Like, does it mean that somebody is missing because they're missing from your life? Does it mean that they're missing because they're not in society? Like, what does missing mean and why do we use that word? And that was something that I left very pensive about, and I still don't really know what it means. Why?
That is the hallmark of great storytelling, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and then one thing that I remember specifically about it as well was it's a quotation, and it was, Indigenous women are only less than those who have lost their humanity or who have never had it. And I thought that was really cool because it kind of instilled a supremacist belief that, like, most people think. And, like, they don't really know. Oh, well, most people might be an overstatement, but that's something that people think and they aren't aware of it because it's just...
It's a normal part of their lives.
Yeah. It also played on responsibility pedagogies, which I thought was really cool because, like, is it our responsibility to protect ourselves, or, like, it's at that point now that I feel like it is personally, but I don't know. Yeah. And then what about the movie, Josh?
All right. The movie, Wind River is a movie that just came out last year. It's set on the Wind River Indian Reservation, which is a real place. I think it's Arapaho and Shoshone Reservation. So it's set in what's now Wyoming. And it's about the investigation into the death of a young Arapaho woman.
Yeah.
And I have at the top of my notes written, disappointed but not surprised. Because I think this movie did really want to address some things. Like it ends with a PSA about the disproportionate rates of violence that are perpetrated against Indigenous women, specifically in America. So I think it wants to have like a greater public awareness of missing and murdered Indigenous women as an issue, and to bring that to the fore. But I think it was very obviously written by like a white man.
Yeah.
And I've liked a few of like the movies that he's written before. His name's Taylor Sheridan. He also directed.
Yeah.
But it's just I think his identity like comes it comes through in a way that it sounds like the identity of the writer of Missing also came through, but in a way that you can get behind.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things that it misses its mark in a big way is just like the basic representational politics of it that it's a movie about a white man who has pretty much gone native.
He works adopted.
He has an Indigenous ex-wife and Indigenous children.
Yeah.
And he works on reserve as a hunter. And that's how he, you know, finds and gets into this investigation and all that. But that's all. Basically, what I'm saying is that this movie doesn't have any central characters who are Indigenous women, and that's a consequence of the writing.
If it's about Indigenous women, I feel like
It's because it's really a movie about a non-Native man.
Oh.
And that's like the major gripe with it.
Yeah.
And that's a consequence of the writing and the casting. And like there are many different ways that this could have been done.
Yeah.
But I guess right.
It was done that way, guess.
I think and it sounds like I'm just not really giving it the benefit of the doubt. But
how many times do you have to give something the benefit of the like we've done that with so many movies.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not good. And he's had Indigenous characters in his movies before. So I thought, oh, maybe he's going to elaborate on it. But I wasn't really pleased with how he handled those characters either.
Yeah.
Granted, the Indigenous characters that are there, they do a lot. Like Gil Birmingham is great in this.
Yeah.
He's the father of the woman who is found in the movie, and a lot of pathos there.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Indigenous people in this movie do a lot with what they're given.
Oh, well.
Which is often how it works in Hollywood, as it turns
out. Yeah, it's how it works in real life, too.
The other major gripe, I think, would probably be that it really doesn't make a real attempt to address, like, what any of the systemic issues around, like, disproportionate rates of violence are.
Yeah.
It's a whodunit, like, murder mystery. And they, at the end, they're like, oh, this is whodunit.
Yeah.
Which I guess, from, like, an entertainment standpoint, is, like, cathartic.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say anything. It doesn't really.
But like, who done it? Society, probably.
Yeah. So it gets at that a little bit, but sort of just in the, I don't know, like showing, oh, this is like the dilapidated res housing kind of view of things.
Yeah.
And in the end, it sort of just feels exploitative of grief for entertainment.
Yeah.
Like very real grief and trauma that people go through.
Yeah.
I came away not feeling terribly great about it. Like, ostensibly, it's like this dramatic mystery, but like there are like action scenes thrown in because I guess that's what he wants to have in his movie.
Action.
That feel like terribly out of place for a movie that is like just basically about grief and the pathos and that sort of thing.
Yeah, action feels wrong.
I mean,
especially if it's not being taken, if it's just like action put in there for some sort of.
I mean, he's like a tension writer kind of guy. Like I think Sicario is a movie he wrote that has like a lot of really good tension.
Yeah,
and that's a movie about like the war on drugs. So there's a lot of politics there too.
Yeah,
But it works better there, I think, because it's not. I don't know. It just left me feeling kind of rubbed the wrong way.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's fair. I don't know. Two out of five.
Two out of five.
I don't know if we don't really do movie reviews, but I mean.
But that one, special.
Yeah,
low review. And then we're also, what about the trials in Edmonton?
The
the inquiry. Sorry. It opened on November 7th, and it sat for 3 days in the Alberta capital to hear family members about their missing daughters, wives, and mothers. So the commissioners were allowed to refer cases to the police only when new information surfaced. Most of this was taken from the news, but there were problems with leads not being followed up. There's lack of concrete action. One half of the time allocated has already been used, so 1 out of 2 years, and they just started the inquiry right now. We won't find answers on an individual basis, so I feel like it's very similar to Wind River, but just with less action scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You forwarded us like a something from the Union of BC Indian Chiefs. They have a coalition on missing and murdered Indigenous women.
Yes.
It's kind of just reporting on their interim report.
Yeah.
From the inquiry, and like kind of levies a lot of the real problems that seem to be coming out of that.
Yeah, and they have some advice as well. They said that a work plan was not presented. Many communities, including Vancouver, are still waiting to hear when family member hearings will be held in their region. There is no plan regarding the examination of systemic causes of violence against Indigenous women and girls. And then they also have some more like sub-points. The report made clear that the lack of human rights framework or approach. That's what they said. The problems were named in the interim report. However, solutions recommended by Indigenous communities, civil society,
judiciary,
the government institutions were not presented. For example, sex-based discrimination in the Indian Act was named as a contributing factor towards violence against Indigenous women and girls, but there was no recommendation for the government to take steps to change that, despite the fact that there is a legislative process underway on this issue. Recommendations regarding the CHRT ruling were not correctly referenced, and the CHRT, the recommendation 9 of the report regarding the Indigenous creation of a national police task force to reopen, assesses and investigates cases was not detailed enough to make it either meaningful or actionable, and the international obligations and principles outlined in such instruments as CERD 9HE, elimination of all forms of racial discrimination as a United Nations, that's what CERD stands for, CEDAW, the Convention of the Elimination of Forms of Discrimination Against Women, and the IARC, the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, were not adequately addressed. I did some research this weekend and I found something really cool. I found an app. It's called the Taken Knowledge Keeper. And the Taken Knowledge Keeper is an app. The Taken Knowledge app is a place where loved ones can securely keep the information that they have about their loved one's case and maybe get some tips and information about their loved one's case. Yeah. And then as well as resources, if your loved one goes missing, says Rebecca Gibson, the co-creator and head writer of Taken. The app boasts educational websites, quizzes, self-care, healing resources, and there are several tips about how to take care of oneself emotionally and physically, as well as mentally and spiritually. It also features a missing person action plan. It's a toolkit that describes steps to take if a family member goes missing, including tips on how to report a missing person. And a poster for the media, which I thought was really cool. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. It's kind of weird that initiative is just coming from somewhere, like, I guess in the tech sector or whatever.
Yeah.
But I guess this is a pretty, like, a broadly affecting issue. If you're an Indigenous person, you might probably know, this is an issue that has affected you and your community, your family.
Yeah.
I think one of the big things that I've seen as a criticism against the inquiry is that there just aren't enough resources for families and people who are like expected to be speaking for the inquiry at these hearings. Is that they're just like they're re-traumatizing themselves going through this, and they aren't having really the support that they should have for that.
Yeah.
So.
And then again, like the responsibility pedagogies, like whose is it? It's their responsibility. Like if they want to go to the inquiry, then like they can talk about it. But do they? Is it their responsibility to educate the public? It's just there. That would be my personal critique, because like there are so many news stories about it and things like that where people are just kind of living through it again, and that's unfortunate.
It's far from ideal, and it's one of the major things that the inquiry should really take to heart if it's going to make meaningful changes.
Yeah.
And I guess if you're affected by that, I mean, take care of yourself first.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that's probably why the app includes that, because yeah. It's really important. Yeah. So now we'll be listening to a couple Indigenous artists, but then we have some unseated events that you might want to attend later.
Yeah. Three women, dressed in lingerie, were hanging from the ceiling on meat hooks. In an adjacent room, a man was in bed with two deceased females, also wearing lingerie. He positioned their arms in a sexy embrace. Down the hall, a man holding a chainsaw stood over the motionless body of a sixth woman, lying on a table covered in plastic. These are scenes from a popular music video by a Grammy Award-winning artist. If we want violence against women to stop, shouldn't we stop treating it like entertainment? Join the conversation at #NotOkay.
Ever wonder what the 60s thought the future would sound like? Retrofuturist dream pop band Youngblood returned to play the Biltmore Cabaret on Saturday, November 25th with glam rock outfit Art Deco and LA-based Maya Manser. Tickets are on sale now.
Unseated events. Now we have our unseated events. We are going to highlight Indigenous relevant events that you might be interested in attending.
So coming up soon, Billy Ray Bailcourt is coming on November 16th at the Friendship Center at UBC at 6:30 p.m. Billy Ray Bailcourt is a PhD student at the University of Alberta in English and Film Studies. He's launching his book, The World is a Wound. So go check it out.
Then we have the Trans Day of Remembrance on November 20th at Carnegie Hall from 7 to 10 p.m. The Trans Day of Remembrance was created to memorialize those who were killed due to anti-transgender hatred or prejudice. This is very relevant to us and our two-spirited family members. Indigenous people have a higher mortality rate than non-Indigenous Canadians, as do transgender Canadians. And many of us are two-spirited, and we need to show support and solidarity to them in order to decolonize and bring two-spiritedness back and welcomed into modern society.
Cookin' Beats presents Mob Bounce, Naga, Carolyn, and Young Dene. I'm assuming that's Young Dene and not Young Dean.
Young Dene?
I'm assuming it's Young Dene. Anyway, this will be at the Waldorf on November 17th from 10 p.m. till 2 p.m. Tickets
2 a.m.?
2 a.m. Sorry.
That would be a long show.
It would be a long show. Either way, that is kind of a long show.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just old. Tickets are $15 and this event is 19 plus.
There is a decolonizing practices workshop for community organizations at PAFNW at 2008 Wall Street, Vancouver, BC on November 30th from 10 a.m. to 12. They want to know what is working and what is not. They will take time to break down big words and turn good intentions into practical solutions. Everyone is welcome and you can RSVP on Eventbrite.
There are screenings of Tsitsinam, The City Before the City at the International Vancouver Film Festival from December 1st to December 3rd. Tsitsinam, The City Before the City commemorates 5 years since the resolution of a dramatic and compelling moment in the history of this place now known as Metro Vancouver. In late 2011, the Musqueam First Nation learned that a 108-unit condo development was being planned at one of their ancestral village sites without consultation with the nation. The ancient site dates back over 4,000 years and has always been known to the Musqueam as Tsitsinam, but has commonly been referred to as the Eburn Midden, the Marpole Midden, the Great Fraser Midden, and DHRS-1. But it is known as Tsitsinam.
It's Tsitsinam, yeah. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you to all of the strong Indigenous families who are taking a stand and participating in the inquiry. And thanks to NORAD Electric and Decolonizing Water for sponsoring our show. The next show that you'll hear is Synchronicity. I'm Autumn Schnell, and you're listening to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM. And we would like to thank the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people for hosting us today as uninvited guests. The remainder of the show we'll be playing exclusively Indigenous women. So enjoy.
Let me tell you about the prairies and their vast wheat fields of gold, how the bitter winter evenings will chill you to the bone.
Till we leave the comfort of the night. Spring coming right along. Oh, about a nice way to ask her for a song. So I asked the mountain if she might want to move me. She said, tell the rivers to wake up the lake. See, rivers take it from sky into home base. And yellow belly hawks know how to kill taste. Singing for the spring is like kissing pretty things. And changes like fire, changes like wings. Birch bark and maple and seas of black hair. Sing, raven, sing, show, Shona, fill the air.
Oh. Uh-huh.